Welcome to the Power of the Purse podcast, the only show connecting women professionals to their peers. This isn't just about money. This is about life. And now the host of the Power of the Purse podcast, Lynn S. Evans.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Lynn S. Evans, and I am the host of Power of the Purse podcast. There was a time in my life not long ago when I believed three things about money. First, women are not supposed to talk about or be included in any conversations about money. Two, women don't have the natural ability to understand anything about money. And three, men know best how to manage money. And those truths I made up about money guided me for years, until I realized money was not a foreign language or some other obscure academic exercise. And it was something I could not only understand, but teach to other women. Too many times I've heard stories from women who ought to know better but didn't, until they were forced to, because of divorce, widowhood, job loss, or the approach of retirement. This podcast will add another chapter to a rich history of successful women who, when faced with some personal challenges, found the ability to step beyond them. We'll examine some of the truths they made up about money from their life experiences and how that shaped the paths they chose. My mission is to help women have a healthy, positive relationship with money. With that in mind, my guest today is attorney Melinda Gagliardi. Melinda Gagliardi is the first assistant federal defender for the Middle District of Pennsylvania. Prior to joining the federal defender staff in 1986, she was an assistant district attorney in Lackawanna County. She's a member of the American Bar Association, the Pennsylvania Bar Association, the Federal Bar Association, and the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. She is past president of the Lackawanna Bar Association and the treasurer of the Association of Women Lawyers of Lackawanna County. She's a co-chair of the Geisinger Health System's Women's Health Volunteer Leadership Council and the co-chair of the Geisinger Northeast Advisory Council. She's also a member of the Board of Girl Scouts in the Heart of Pennsylvania and is on their executive committee. She was a recipient of the Women of Distinction Award presented annually by the former Scranton-Pocono Girl Scout Council and was the chair of the 2006 Women of Distinction Awards program. In 2005, she received the Lynette Norton Award, presented by the Pennsylvania Bar Association's Commission on Women in the Profession. That same year, she received the inaugural Athena Award, presented by the Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce. She's also served on the Lackawanna County Commission for Women, the Friendship House Board of Directors, the Board of Directors of the Scranton Division of American Heart Association, and the Board of Directors of the former Community Medical Center Healthcare System. She has volunteered as the National Sponsor Chair for the Northeastern Pennsylvania Race for the Cure. She's a past chair of the Board of Family Service of Lackawanna County, and she's a member of the Peckville Business and Professional Women's Club and was named their Woman of the Year in 1999. She served on the University of Scranton's Board of Trustees, where she chaired the Student Life and Presidential Search Committees. The university honored her by establishing an Ignatian Scholarship in her name, and in 2000 presented her with the Frank J. O'Hara Alumni Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Law. She's a current member of the Board of Visitors of the university's Penuska College of Professional Studies. She and her husband, attorney Sidney Prejean, recently received the Robert J. Munley Award for Distinguished Service from Lackawanna Pro Bono. Melinda is a 1976 graduate of Scranton Preparatory School and a 1980 magna cum laude graduate of the University of Scranton, where she received the Departmental Award for Public Administration. In 1983, she was awarded a Juris Doctor from the University of Pittsburgh School of Law. Welcome, Melinda.
Lynn, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners about the power of the purse.
Yay! I'm thrilled. Nice work. You did all that. I want to tell you, this resume is just your bio is just so powerful. And I wanted to make sure I hit the highlights, and I want all of our listeners to know that there's much more in here. But I just thought we would probably get a very good idea of who you are and your commitment to service and to the people and the institutions that you serve. So I want to say, as a citizen of this area, Lackawanna County in northeastern Pennsylvania, I say thank you for all the things that you've done.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you. I must say that I have enjoyed every minute of it. I truly have.
That's really great. I wanted to start by asking you something that really, from my perspective, it goes back to my own ignorance of what this is. But I'm just wondering if people who are listening would also have the same question if they really thought about it. I know what the district attorney's office does in each county in Pennsylvania. I'm aware of it because it's always on the news and we always know what's happening. But I rarely hear anything about a federal defender. So what type of cases do you work with as a federal defender, and what's the population that you serve?
So I am a federal defender in the federal district court that is called the Middle District of Pennsylvania. The Middle District of Pennsylvania covers 33 of the 67 counties in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Wow.
We have two other federal district courts in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We have the Western District of Pennsylvania and the Eastern District of Pennsylvania. The Western District of Pennsylvania is Allegheny County and the counties that surround Pittsburgh. And the Eastern District of Pennsylvania is Philadelphia County and all of the suburban counties that surround Philadelphia. So the Middle District of Pennsylvania is everything in between. We cover a very, very large area. And we have in our district, because our district is so large, we have three offices. Our main office is in Harrisburg. And we have two branch offices. I'm in a branch office in Scranton, which covers the northeast corner of the district. We have an office in Williamsport. And as I said earlier, our main office is in Harrisburg. So we are appointed by the federal court to represent individuals who are under investigation for or have been charged with committing federal offenses. We do exactly the same thing that the public defender offices in the counties in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania do. It's just that they only do it in Lackawanna County Court or Luzerne County Court or Pike County Court. We do it in the Middle District of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
You're going to ask me what type of offenses, right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Okay. So there is a lot of crossover between state and federal offenses. So, for instance, drug offenses, firearms offenses, child pornography offenses, they are crimes that could be charged in either federal court or state court. Bank robbery, that's another crime that can be charged in either federal court or state court. It's in those types of situations where there is what we call concurrent jurisdiction between more than one sovereign, the law enforcement agencies in those areas kind of decide amongst themselves, you know, who's going to prosecute this case? Is it going to be the Luzerne County District Attorney? Is it going to be the Attorney General of Pennsylvania? Or are they going to refer it to the U.S. Attorney's Office?
There is
concurrent jurisdiction in, you know, a lot of, in really most of our cases. We also do a lot of immigration, get a lot of immigration charges. You normally won't see those charged in state court. That pretty much is exclusively federal. We deal with anything having to do with banks. So I said before, bank robbery.
Yep.
But we would also deal with bank fraud, bank larceny, anything dealing with the mails or the post offices. You know, a postal employee who steals mail, that's a federal offense.
Mm-hmm.
Mail fraud, wire fraud, all types of what you would consider like white collar type frauds.
Yeah.
any type of tax charges. We don't get a lot of tax cases because the major requirement for the court to appoint us to represent people is that they're indigent and they have no money. And it's been my experience that people who are usually charged with tax evasion will generally have the ability to hire private counsel. So we don't do a lot of tax cases, but we do get tax cases.
Well, what are things, so you're defending the people who have been charged with these crimes, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
We do.
So when you were the district attorney in the district attorney's office, you were prosecuting the crimes, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so now you're on the other side.
I switched from prosecution to defense.
Okay.
And I switched from state court to federal court.
I got it. Okay, very clear. Thank you very much. I always wondered what the difference was between all that. I never could really get that in my head. One other thing I wanted to ask you about, when I recited some of the things that you've been involved with, I know that you've been involved with the Business and Professional Women's Clubs, especially the one in Peckville, for a long time. And
yes.
I see your picture in the paper all the time with all the other ladies who are there. What was it about that organization that got you so involved in it? What appealed to you about that?
So I joined that organization back in 1984 when I first started practicing law.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things have changed in the legal profession in the last 33, 34 years that I have been practicing. And one of the major things that has changed is that there are a lot more women involved in the profession today than there were back in 1984 when I first started practicing.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not encounter many professional women in my practice.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be able to network with other female professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in Peckville,
mm-hmm.
and my first grade teacher, Virginia Tedesco, Miss Tedesco, mm-hmm. was a member of the Peckville BPW when I was a student.
Okay. All right.
And so when I started practicing law, that organization invited me to be a speaker
mm-hmm.
in October of 1984 at one of their meetings. So I go to this meeting and I see my first grade teacher and other women from the Mid Valley that I have known over the years.
Yeah.
And I joined the organization that night.
No kidding.
Because I spoke to them. It was in October of 1984. The subject matter was women in government. I was a woman in government. And there were two women who were members of the organization, Carol Fronduti, who was from the Mid-Valley. She was a court reporter. And Marina Paparelli, also from the Mid-Valley, she was the law librarian
mm-hmm.
for Lackawanna County. And they invited me to speak at this meeting.
How many women were there?
We used to get around 50 people at a meeting.
No kidding! 50? Wow!
Yes.
Was that your first speaking engagement?
It was. I was a brand new baby lawyer. I had only been practicing for less than a year. I was invited to be their speaker. I was very, very warmly welcomed. I look around the room. I see all these people that I know and admire, and I thought, this is where I want to be.
All right. That's great. Were you nervous?
Terribly nervous. Terribly nervous.
But you survived. I love it.
I did, and I've been a member of that organization ever since.
Wow. Have you done any other speaking engagements? Or what do they call
them? I do speaking actually, you know, frequently. I have spoken. I've been invited to speak by the Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce Women's Network. Mm-hmm. I've spoken to them about mentoring.
Yeah.
And I do also legal speaking. As an attorney, in order to maintain your license, like in many professions, you have to have so many continuing education credits.
Yeah.
It might be like that in the financial services industry as well.
It is.
And, you know, I have a sister who's a dentist. They have requirements. And I know in many professions. So we have to have so many continuing legal education credits every year. And so mm-hmm. I have done speaking mostly on ethics. In fact, I recently did an ethics presentation in upstate New York for a friend of mine who is the federal defender in the Western District of New York. So I was in Batavia, New York at the beginning of April to speak to her staff and other attorneys there about ethics. So I do speak on various legal issues to lawyers for purposes of continuing legal education credit.
I also noticed, and this is of course something that's near and dear to my heart because I was one of the original founders of the Women's Resource Center, but I see that you are part of the Barbara J. Hart Justice Center. And
yes.
That really was a great spinoff, which came from a very important need for a lot of the women who were using the shelters and the services of the Women's Resource Center to get the kind of legal help they really needed. How long have you been involved with that, and why did that particularly talk to you?
So I have been on the legal committee for 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
The past chair of the legal committee, Joan Samuel, is an attorney that I know here in Scranton, and she asked me if I would consider joining that group, and I was honored to join the group. When I worked in the district attorney's office back in the mid-80s, I met Peg Ruddy. Peg Ruddy started working in the Women's Resource Center, I believe, in 1984, when I started working in the district attorney's office.
Mm-hmm.
A woman by the name of Mary Beth Woody was the executive director of the Women's Resource Center at that time, and Peg had just started working there. So I've known Peg my entire legal career.
Yeah.
And when I was an assistant DA, I had an opportunity to work with the Women's Resource Center on a day-to-day basis. As years went on, I didn't work with them so much, but they would call me every now and then when they would have an issue, particularly regarding an undocumented alien, if they had immigration questions, that sort of thing. I am not an expert on immigration, but I know people who are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have had the opportunity to collaborate with the Women's Resource Center over the years. So when Joan asked me to join the legal committee, I was absolutely thrilled. I adore Peg Ruddy, and she has done so much for domestic violence in Lackawanna County as well as in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and we are so fortunate to have her at the helm of our organization here in Lackawanna County.
We are indeed. She is truly a gift.
She is.
Yeah. So I can see also that a lot of the activities that you've been involved with the organizations, much of them have to do with women and girls and building them into strong women. So I'm guessing that's obviously a passion with you.
It is. It is. And it has been for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it has become even more so as a result of my work in the Federal Defender's Office. because so many of my clients, of the women that I see in my caseload, are people who, if they were Girl Scouts, and if they had had good women role models in their lives, their lives might have been very, very different. If they had someone who instilled self-worth and self-confidence in them, they might not associate themselves with people, primarily men, who take advantage of them and use them. And so I feel that by being involved in organizations that foster leadership and self-confidence in women and girls, that I am trying to do my part to pay it forward. I was very fortunate. I grew up in a family where I was the eldest of three girls, and my father and mother never treated my sisters and I any differently because we were girls. They never treated us as if we couldn't do anything and everything that we wanted. They never said, oh, you can't do that because you're a girl. That was it just never happened in our household. In fact, I will tell you, I am very proud that when I started Scranton Prep back in 1972, I was in the first class of girls that started as freshmen.
Yay!
So I have been a trailblazer long time, Lynn.
That's wonderful. I didn't realize you were in the first class. How many other girls were with you in that first class?
There were 30 of us.
Wow.
There were 30 girls and 100 boys in our class.
That's still good. That's still a good mixture. I like that. That's really, you know what it is now, today? Is it half and half?
At least. There might be more girls than boys in each class.
Wow.
Just 6 years later, when my youngest sister went there, it was 50-50.
Wow. Well, that's good. I didn't realize it was that fast.
It changed very quickly.
Yeah. Well,
so I guess we must have done a good job as being the first class of freshman girls.
I'm sure you did. Look at what you did, magna cum laude and everything else. Wow. I'd say that's quite a wonderful tribute to the fact that whoever you all were, they picked some really good ones. I would say that.
I'm very proud of that, and I think that my female high school classmates feel the same way.
Good. I'm sure if we went back and took a look at all of those young women and who they became, it'd be very impressive.
It is impressive. I agree.
Okay. So that's a perfect segue for me to go into the other part of this, which was I wanted to get some idea of your background and your learning about money. And the first question I was going to ask, you've already answered it pretty much, was what was your family like when you were growing up? So you're the oldest of three.
Yes.
And you never had anybody tell you you couldn't do anything because you were a girl.
That's absolutely correct.
All right. So that begs the obvious question then. How was the relationship between your mother and father? Was your mother someone who never said, you know, I'm a woman, I can't do certain things?
My mother was a very traditional mother.
Really?
Yes. Very traditional. My mother had a very, very traditional role in the family. Mm-hmm. And my father did not want my sisters and I to have that same traditional role.
So it was your father. Oh, my goodness. I love it.
Yes. Yes. It was my father who said, you know, they're not going to do the dishes and they're not going to learn how to cook. And they are not going to do the laundry. Everyone in this family has a job. And my mom's job was to do all of those things and to take care of us. My father's job was to work and to make money to provide for the family. Mm-hmm. And my sisters and I, our job was to go to school and to get the best grades we possibly could and to get as much advanced education as we could so that we would have a profession and we would be able to be self-sufficient and would never have to be dependent on a partner or a spouse for our livelihoods.
Beautiful. Can you clone them?
and this was, my father was a very old-fashioned Italian Catholic male.
Yeah, that's extraordinary.
You would never expect him to be so progressive. But he wanted his daughters to be self-sufficient and independent.
That's wonderful. So is that...
That's the way my parents raised us.
And you mentioned your sister is a dentist, one of them?
I have a sister who's a dentist, yes. Mm-hmm. And my other sister is a businesswoman. Mm-hmm. She and her husband own a funeral home business along with their sons in Pittston.
Wow. I love it. That's great.
My sisters and I all have advanced degrees. We all have advanced degrees.
That's great. I love it. I think that's fabulous. Is your dad still with us?
No, I'm afraid he isn't.
I'm sure he saw you all get to that point where you had your degrees and you were educated?
Yes. Yes. Good. In fact, I will tell you, both of my sisters are married and they each have two sons. So my parents went from having three daughters to having four grandsons.
That's cute.
And
that's
I was the last to get married.
Uh-huh.
And my father, who was in ill health at the time I married, passed away 4 months after I got married. And I, God bless him, I really think that he was just waiting around to make sure I got married. And
I know.
He passed away 4 months after that.
Well, I have a similar story. I'm the oldest of three. And I didn't get married for the first time until I was 48. So my mother truly, she breathed a big sigh of relief that she had all three of us married. And I think she purposely hung on to the world until I got married.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well,
yeah,
we definitely have that in common, Lynn.
Yes, for sure. It's really funny. They made us so independent that we just didn't really feel the need. You know?
Exactly.
Oh, gosh, that's great. So what was your first memory around money?
My first memory around money is at age 16, my father told me that I needed to have a checking account.
Okay.
And I will tell you, my father was an accountant and my mother was a bookkeeper.
Okay.
So we talked about money in our house on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And I think that... because of my parents, you know, background in finances, that my sisters and I were educated to not be afraid of money, mm-hmm. and to be planners as far as money is concerned. So when I was 16 years old, my father took me to the bank and he opened a checking account for me and he told me that it was now time for me to learn how to manage money. So he at age 16, he said if I could drive a car, I should be able to learn how to manage money.
Well, that's brilliant. I like that. So what did you learn other than having the checking account? What did you learn about money with the checking account?
I learned how to manage my money because he gave me a certain amount for whatever I wanted to use it for.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me a certain amount every month.
Yeah.
And that was for me to buy clothes, to go out with my friends, to go to the movies, however I wanted to spend. And I don't even really remember how much he gave me on a monthly basis. But that was mine to do with what I wanted, and I couldn't ask for any more during that month. That was it. So it was his way of teaching me, I think, some financial responsibility.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. So the bottom line is, were you a saver or a spender?
I'm a saver.
So you had money at the end of the month?
Not a lot,